Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised.
Laugh time on Modus Critica. Our unlikely heroes attempted to make good on their deal with Baba Yaga, but were deceived and betrayed. In an epic battle, the party fought tirelessly, eventually rendering Baba Yaga useless and sending her off into the ethers. Left behind in her ashes was Baba Yaga's Heartstone, and the party was able to open the crypt and retrieve the Aquaradium Stone of Power. A well-endowed Nevlin was able to attune to the stone, which decreased in size, making it easier to carry. As our party left Thas Yaga, they were met face-to-face with a large Goliath and a serpent-like mage, stopping them in their tracks.
Welcome to Modus Critica, a 5th edition actual play D&D podcast. This is the 13th episode, and we are 6 death-defying, sacrilegious, devil-worshipping cultist elites according to mothers from the 1970s. We're here to roll play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those 6 people are...
I'm Eric, and I play Cornelius Fluffy Bum, a druid Herengon, and I am rolling with all new sets of dice. They're not new, but I... got rid of the other ones, and yesterday, whenever it is where you are, I'm hoping to roll good.
I feel like we just had a lesson in time.
Someone go next, please.
My name is Kyle, and I will be playing Darius Adolfo, the cleric of the Grave of Mercure. Not necessarily in that word order, but close enough. I'll be walking forth in a cautious way.
Hi everyone, I am Sid, who plays Gord Godhand, the half-orc paladin barbarian of the group. Gord has actually been in a cult before for most of his younger life, and as a result, he's got some scars that he'll have to deal with, both externally and internally.
Oh, they cut you on the inside too.
Ouch.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, who is a very anxious 9-year-old turtle monk. And unlike Eric, I am rolling the same 2 sets of dice that I always have. And fun fact, our dungeon master Tyrone has bought both of them for me. He's a very nice man.
Dungeon's pet.
Jealous.
Yeah. Everybody look under your seats, because guess what?
You get a set of dice, and you get a set of dice, and you get a set of dice.
What? How did this happen?
All right, Zachary, close us out.
Hey, my name's Zach. I play Nevlin Thrice Great, gnome illusionist, opportunist, and collusionist.
Inclusionist.
He has very inclusive politics.
And I'm Tyrone, and I will be your dungeon master, and there are no dice under your seat.
I can change that right now.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, they were on my seat the whole time.
A cool breeze blows against your skin, but all else is silent save the sound of large feet planting further into the dirt. Before you stand the same 2 that stood before you in Evernight. A giant Goliath with a hefty scar across his face. Tribal tattoos cover his left eye and run down his body, adding contrast and horror to his hooded visage as he stands, a shining axe in each hand. Beside the towering Goliath, the mage boasts smooth, serpent-like flesh with a thin, pointed face and a long tongue that slips quickly in and out of her mouth. Similar tattoos cover her eyes, which can barely be seen as half of her face hides underneath a similar black hood. Golden narrow eyes glowing beneath. As the silence creates an undeniable tension, a faint smirk appears on the lips of the mage as the gravel shifts and the Goliath charges full speed ahead.
roll initiative.
Who the fuck are these people?
Ah, jeez.
That's gonna be a 17 for Cornelius.
Gord got a 5.
Dario got the 15.
Nevlin got a natural 20.
Whoa.
Ooh, Spud also got a nat 20. What's your dex, bro?
I have plus 3 to dexterity rolls. Oh.
Spud's got a plus 5, so he's gonna take the lead on that one.
I technically also got a nat 20 because it like spilled out of my little sack. But I chose to re-roll because, like, that, I was like, that wasn't really a real roll, so it was actually a 15.
Doesn't count if it spills out of your sack.
Yeah, no.
Just... Yikes.
Torque and Dario, who's got the higher dex?
Just one.
Oh, my dexterity is 0.
I beat you. I'm better than you.
Okay, so he is going to run directly towards you, Gord, with a very, very big smile on his face.
That's weird.
Oh, you're back for more, are ya?
You bet your sweet ass. And he runs directly towards you and goes to attack.
Why'd you make it sound so hot?
In his direction. Because I'm like, come get it.
The first one is going to be 20 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to take 1d8 plus 7 damage for 11 damage.
Okay. Get a slice of my other cheek, I'll say as I present.
And then he's going to make a second attack. And the second attack's going to miss. I think that's a 12.
It does miss.
Okay, so his second attack is a miss. And then his extra attack. Fuck. God damn it. How did they roll 2 2s in a row? 12 is a miss as well. So he runs at you very confidently, but only connects with one attack as he slashes across your armor, or lack thereof, rather. So that's going to be his turn, and then it's going to be Spud. And Spud is going to see this, and he's going to be like, "Huh?" And he runs directly towards the barbarian, and he's going to attack him just the same as he draws his two short swords. The first one is a 9 plus 6, I believe, for 15, which is not going to do it. And the second attack, nice. It's going to be an 18 plus 6, which is a hit for 24. And he's going to do his 1d6 plus 4 damage. And he rolls a fucking 1. He's going to do 5 damage to the barbarian. And that's going to be Spud's turn. So next in the order is going to be Nevlin.
Nevlin's going to flank sort of around to the right. So he has a direct line on the mage. He's going to use his very last spell slot to cast Witch Bolt at the mage.
Roll to hit.
That is, I believe, a 21. Let me make sure. 22.
Yeah, 22 is going to hit.
So, again, Nevlin launches his hands forward, and from within his formidable wizard sleeves, a consistent bolt of lightning connects with the sorceress, dealing 10 damage. And as long as I keep concentration, d12 damage every round after.
Nice.
Nicely done.
All right.
That'll be the end of my turn, Ty.
Next up, then, is going to be Cornelius.
All right, I am going to summon my wildfire spirit, little Mr. Goldbloom.
Hell yeah.
just up next to Seraphim the Jerk. And Seraphim will need to make a dex save, DC 14.
Okay. She's not proficient in dexterity saving throws. That's going to be a 7.
Okay, so she's going to take 8 fire damage.
8 fire damage. The flame just exists seemingly out of nowhere and torches Seraphim. Is that going to be your turn?
No, I'm going to actually move up next to Nevlin, and then I'm going to use my bonus action to get my Goldbloom to attack.
Okay.
And I will use Flame Seed.
All right.
It is a ranged attack, but...
Time to heat things up.
That's going to be 19 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit, dude.
And then... Ooh, nice. Max damage for 8 damage. I would only assume that's... Yes, it's fire damage.
Okay. The magical damage continues.
That's my turn.
She gets burned again and lets out another scream. If that's your turn, the next is going to be Torque Tortellini.
Okay.
Tortellini.
So Torque's going to move around in behind the barbarian, so he's flanking on opposite to Spud, and he's going to attempt to attack him with his short sword.
Okay, roll the hit.
That is a 19.
That is a hit.
Yeah, bitchin'. And that will deal 8 damage.
All right.
And he'll use his bonus action to attack with his turtle claws.
Alrighty, give her shit.
Oh, it's a 9.
That's not gonna do it.
He'll just stay put there.
Flanked and all. All right, if that's your turn?
Yep.
Then it's gonna be Dario's turn.
Okay, Dario pulls out his emblem of Mercule. He puts out his hand at the same time, touches Gorg Godhand's back. And he's like, be empowered and protected by the ancient death magics of Mercule. And he's gonna give you +2 to your AC for Shield of Faith. And then I quickly put away the chain and I'm like, got to go. And he goes around in behind Gord and behind Spud and kind of runs out around to the side.
I hope you know I'm going to make footstep sound effects out of those sounds and use those for the rest of the entire campaign every time you
On Modus Critica, Kyle makes his own sound effects.
That's what my boots sound like. And then I end my turn there.
Okay, then it's going to be Seraphim the Black's turn. And Seraphim stands there and takes all of this magical damage. And as she screams, she pushes her hands together and starts to harness some of that energy. And as she harnesses the energy, it grows and grows and grows and grows into this giant swirling ball of fire between her hands. And she shoots it forth from her hands, thus casting Fireball. And she screams, Drogon, watch yourself! And the fireball erupts directly at her partner in arms. So everybody needs to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Not my favorite.
Will a 10 make it?
Will a 12 make it?
Well, how about a 16?
What about a 17?
Hold on.
Those don't make it. An 8's gotta make it, right?
So, Nevlin, you got a...
I got an 8.
Okay, and Torque?
16.
Yeah, you pass. Gord?
10.
You do not pass. Dario?
12.
You do not pass. Cornelius?
17.
Yes, you pass. Okay, so Gord, Dario, and Nevlin, you're all gonna take 8d6. Torque and Cornelius, you're going to take 11 damage each. Everyone else is going to take 22 damage.
I hate that.
Yowza.
As well as the barbarian as he failed his check.
The electrical field connecting Seraphim and Nevlin fizzles out as Nevlin falls to the ground unconscious.
I try and make a concentration saving throw to maintain my spell, and I rolled a 17. So I maintain my Shield of Faith for Gord, but it hurt a lot.
Okay. Spud also falls to the ground, unconscious.
Oh, shit.
After this damage.
Not good.
Gord, it is going to be your turn.
Gord looks around at everybody falling, and he's going to look at the barbarian, and he's going to go, what do you guys really want?
He looks back at you, and he's like, you know what we came for. The stone.
He's gonna move around the barbarian, disengaging.
Okay.
And move towards Nevlin, pulling the stone out of his pocket.
Okay. Is that gonna be your turn?
Yeah, he'll say, if we give you the stone, will you let us live?
He looks at you and he says, either way, you will die.
Oh, well, in that case...
Yeah.
I'll rage then with my bonus action.
Okay.
And throw a javelin at Seraphim.
Okay.
Recklessly.
Roll the hit at your advantage.
That's 22.
Oh, fuck yeah. You smoke her. You stab her, probably.
Perfect. That'll be 12 damage to her.
So you huck this javelin after pulling the stone out of Nevlin's pocket. And you huck the javelin straight at Seraphim. And you see the javelin go directly, not through her leg, but into it. And it goes through the other side, but it kind of rests, it stops there. And she screams in pain as you see her break the shaft off the javelin. And she screams out the barbarian's name. Drogon! And the barbarian, like, pipes up. It's top of the round. It's his turn. He runs back to Seraphim the Black. And as he gets right beside Seraphim, he grabs around her waist. And then he smashes his axes together. And a 40-foot cloud of extremely dense, thick fog bursts out of his axes. And as the fog dissipates slowly, they're gone.
Oh,
from
what
sight.
A bunch of wussies.
Team Rocket, and we're blasting off again!
Pretty much.
I would run over to Spud at that point and stabilize him.
And I reach down and I cast Cure Wounds on Nevlin. And, oh my god, for 5, you get 5 hit points.
Hooray. Well, that was easier than expected.
Oh, bad.
Nevlin, we won!
Ahead.
As Nevlin wakes up, he looks around and he's looks up at Gord and Cornelius and he says, Seraphim. That was Seraphim the Black.
Yeah, I have no idea. That's who that was. It makes sense.
She must have come for the stone.
This is exactly what she wanted, and I hold it above Nevlin's face.
Nevlin snatches the stone real quick, and looking up at Gord, he says, Gord, what were you doing with the stone?
Well, what were you doing on the ground, buddy? At least I'd be able to run away with it.
So that was your plan, was to run away with the stone?
If she wasn't going to let you live, and there was no other point, most likely.
Well, as long as you weren't going to give it to them or nothing, we got to keep these stones out of their hands. You saw what happened the last time.
At least now we know their weakness. Seraphim. So, I suggest next time, that's where we focus all our energy.
Yeah.
Drogon, whatever that barbarian's name is, he'll obey everything she says.
That
is
true.
For the stone, you better not die next time, Nevlin.
That wasn't his choice.
I mean, maybe someone who's a little bit more powerful should protect it.
Oh my god. Yeah, I think everybody needs a little bit of a nap. I sense a little bit of hostility going around here.
I don't think those two are coming back, but we should maybe make tracks away from this general area before we make camp or anything.
Looking at the bout of us, we all look pretty hurt. Dario, do you have anything for that?
Well, I turn over to Spud, and I'm like, here you go, buddy. And I'll heal him.
I think you mean
him.
Spuddy.
Spuddy. And I use a healing potion on him. I max out, which is nice. I give him 11 HP.
Oh, sweet.
That's,
okay.
That's awfully and then, nice of you.
Thanks, Dario.
Nevlin, let me hit you up for what I have left. I'll do a Cure Wounds for level 2 on you.
Hi.
Oh, no.
Generous guy today.
That's all I have left. So, nice. 6 and 6 is 12, plus 3 is 15 for you there, Nevlin.
Thank you.
And then I'll be tapped out. I'll be like, all the blessings of Mercule have left me for the day.
Oh, your god is so limited.
See, what is interesting about that, Cornelius, is that Mercule is the god of death, and death waits for us all. Some might say that he is the most powerful.
I mean, there's that, but... God, Schmod.
Okay, hey guys, I love the chit-chat, but do you think that we could get out of here?
Oh, yeah, we've already been walking for 5 minutes, but hurry up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. As come Spud on, walks, man. It's like, doo 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 doo.
Okay, so you guys make away from this area. Are you staying in this open flat, or are you going to head back into the Mercantile, or are you going to head back up to Senelise? Well, I mean, you are going to Senelise anyway, but...
Yeah.
Where is the place with the potential churros again?
That was Loerin.
Oh, Loerin.
That's what I thought. Well, you guys, I think maybe we should go to Loerin. Don't you think that's a good idea?
I think Loerin is actually a good idea because we need to rest.
Yeah, maybe this, you know, some snacks.
You guys head up through the flats and back into the swamp, heading up the southeast side of the Mercandraw, and you travel for about... Well, it'll be about a day, at least. I'm just going to roll here.
Lightning! I'm going to take off all my metal armor.
It's just overcast this day, so you guys travel for a day. You don't run into anything. You see creatures far, far off in the distance, but you manage to make it successfully to a nice spot where you guys can set up a camp for the night and take a rest.
Cool.
Is there any, like, particular shapes of these monsters that are off in the distance? Or
well, you see, like the swamp crocs, and you see there's just, like, a few small, ominous, slothy-looking things that are up in the dead trees that are in and around.
Are the sloths nice?
Likely not.
Because.
They're mean sloths, but
yeah,
they're still
very
slow.
They're very slow, yeah. And then,
it's fine.
So you guys have someone taking watch?
I'll
take first watch.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, Whew, us magic users really need to sleep.
Okay, good night.
So okay. Torque takes first watch.
Good night, yes.
So I'll see, I mean, what's this, like, maybe like a 40-minute shift, or?
And then who's taking second watch?
I'll take second watch.
All right.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. You guys don't see anything all night, just firebugs. Torque, your watch goes smoothly. Gord comes out, relieves you. Everyone gets a full 8 hours before you guys take off. And your second day, you guys are trudging through the Mercandra on your way to Loairin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to roll for the old weather. Boom, 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 boom. It's same as yesterday, still overcast for your second day of travel. Because of the ever-changing dynamics of the Feywild, you make it there in a few short hours from where you rested, and you guys get into Loairin. The gatekeeper's there, and he's like, hello?
Hail and well met.
You guys got churros yet?
Our business is our own.
I don't know nothing about churros. Might go check the,
Pete's Tasty Meats.
Yeah, Pete's, I know where to go
that's
to get
what I was
them.
Just gonna say. Pete's Tasty Meats, Stinky Pete's Tasty Meats Treats, Rolling Pete's Tasty Treats, Darren. And then they might have something there, but I don't know who these churros are that you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Nobody thinks they're very exotic.
They sound pretty
out of
exotic.
This world.
Has everything been quiet around here?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
I ain't seen nothing. My watch, nobody coming. Bit of that black oozy stuff running around in the Mercandra, but nothing real problematic, nothing we can't solve.
Black oozy stuff?
Yeah, black oozy stuff.
Is it as regular as all the other oozy stuff out there?
It's the same.
It's not any oozier?
Maybe we'll ask a little bit more in town about this black ooze.
Yeah, we're gonna ask somebody else that kind of knows a little bit more than you do, okay?
Oh, what?
Thanks, have a good day.
We probably know the most about this ooze.
Right.
Let's go to Stinky, Rotten, Good-for-Nothing Pete's.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, we head there.
All right, so you guys go into Rotten Pete's.
Sorry, sir,
Tasty
what, was
Treats.
What was your name?
Oh, my God.
Martin.
Martin, cool. Nice to meet you. I'm Cornelius.
Hail and well met.
Cornelius, well met. Let's go.
Okay, hoppity hop hop hop.
Hello, Martin. Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
It's a wonderful service you do this
time. Do you have any kids? Did we save one of your kids?
All I want is a fantasy churro. God damn it. Torque is way ahead, and he shouts, and he's like, you guys, stop living in the past. I'm hungry, and I'm a little bit grumpy, and I just want to get a churro from Rotten Stinky Pete. Let's go.
All right.
Sorry, you'll have to excuse me, Martin. I have to get the baby his bottle.
And you guys all head over to Tasty Pete's. And you get into Tasty Pete's, and you don't see anyone at the bar. You don't see Tasty Pete.
Okay. Who do we see? What do we see?
You see the same large, long bar. There's seating off to the right. To the left are the stairs up to the rooms of the inn, and you can see directly behind into the kitchen where there are some people working in chef's aprons, and there are some patrons in and around. It's a lively little base.
Well, Tort goes up to the bar. Is there a bartender or like anyone, like a server or?
Yeah, you go to the bar and you hear this.
Hello? I'm back here.
Hello, excuse me. Where are you?
Hold on.
It's very urgent.
You hear the stool drag across the ground, and this tiny little hobbit stands up on the stool and just barely gets her elbows up onto the bar. And she's like,
hey, welcome to Ronnie Pete's Tasty Treats Tavern.
Thanks, I appreciate it. That was a nice welcome.
How may I help you?
Well, it's very important that I speak with Pete. I was wondering if he was available.
He's not available today. He's sick.
Oh,
he's been sick for a few days now.
Who's in charge of your kitchen, may I ask?
That would be Gustav.
Is Gustav available, please, madam?
Hey, Gustav! Are you available?
Morgy, morgy. Mark, mark, mark. Push the door, he's there. Paternity door, and the vertebrae.
Push the vertebrae.
Madam, excuse me, what is your name?
My name is, Trinkets.
Okay, Madam Trinkets,
I like just that. Madam Trinkets. Yeah, good ring to it.
I'm very polite because I want you to give me what I want. So,
and what can I get you?
I'm not supposed to say that part. Churros! I just really want a churro, and I need Pete to tell us if he was able to get the churros.
What in the nines is a churro?
Oh, gosh, darn it.
It just might not be in the cards for us this day there, Torque.
I bet my mom could make a really nice churro.
You think so?
Told her she's an amazing, phenomenal
Ooh, where's your
baker
mom?
And cook. Probably at her house, but my mom's not going anywhere, so let's not worry about churros right now. And
okay,
let's
just eat something, I guess.
All right, Trinkets, a round of muck pies.
Yeah, sure. Just give me a minute. Hey, Gustav! One round of... Wait, what did you want?
Those pies that you have that are kind of god-awful, but they serve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get a round of pies out here.
He stops his preparation and he starts getting over to the flame-lit griddle and throws some pies on.
I'll be like, and Trinkets, by the way, we just need a place to stay for the night to perhaps sleep in before we head back out the next day.
Absolutely.
Would that be here or would that, do we need to go and see our green knight buddies?
You could stay here if you want.
Yeah, can all we right. stay here for free though? Please?
I can't do that.
I will pay for it.
How come?
Because I'm running a business here in Pete's absence, and if I just start giving out free...
Torque, like, that's a little unreasonable. Like,
yeah, I can't really do that.
I don't know, you gotta ask sometimes, Dario.
that's true, that's fair. But how much would that be per night?
If you want the luxury rooms, it's gonna be a gold piece for the lot of you.
Oh, goodness.
I got this one. I'll tell you what, I would like a private room, though. I would take some time to commune with Mercule. I don't want to bother you all.
Let's say one gold piece and 10 silver.
I'll do that, yes. Wait, that's just...
that's what she says.
Okay.
I'll look over at Dario when he says that.
Yeah.
I'll keep a note of that. It'll be like a telltale game. Gord will remember that. Ding.
Here's your pies.
While we're eating the pies, I do want to ask Nevelyn. I'll go, so, Nevelyn, do you know of any magic items that... make you teleport?
Well, I mean, there's no reason it can't be done. You could really imbue anything with that kind of power as long as you had the capabilities to use the spell beforehand. I'm not sure if what our friend did there was purely a result of his axes or perhaps some other training.
Good to know.
It is curious. They found out about us. We found out about them, but how did they figure out about us?
I look over to Dario at that point. I go, yeah, it's almost like they had an inside man.
I also
yes.
look at Dario.
Okay, what? Like, you guys are looking at me like I don't understand what's happening here. Like,
I look at Dario,
if you have
too.
A problem, you should just say it, okay? Because I'm right here.
All I'm saying is you're right. They did find us pretty easily. Either they know where the stones are, or somebody who might know other Shatter Kai tipped them off.
Wait. Gord, do you think that guy's Dario?
It's an implication of sorts.
Tell you what, Dario, why don't I spend the night with you? You know what? Here. And I toss him 5 silver.
Okay, so wait, you're gonna give me money to impose on my space and my time. And you're gonna pay me
half.
That's
right. Half of what the room is worth.
If you really want to share a room with me tonight, I'm going to tell you something about Mercule and his blessings. Please, join me. Perhaps you will be a new recruit.
Well, wait, I want to know what it is.
Are we buying one? Are we just getting one room then? Is that what we're doing?
I think if we're going to be a group, we shouldn't have so many secrets. I'd like to meet this Mercule.
Okay, you guys obviously need to know a little more about me so that we can build upon this foundation of trust that we need to construct here. Okay, join me. Join me in communion with Mercule.
Okay.
So you guys are all going to share a room.
Sounds good. I mean, praying to Mercule can't be anything weirder than what Nevelyn did a couple days ago.
You guys are talking well throughout the day and into the night. You all retire to the one room, the larger room, which is the fancier room. You guys are sitting around the fire. Dario, do you want to explain some things to the party?
So what I do is I use about 5 candles that I have in my priest's pack. I also have vestments, a censure, and incense that goes in that, and I also have an alms box.
Okay.
I'm not giving you my money.
It's part of the ritual. That's you have joined me in the Church of
Mercury.
Is this
a pyramid scheme?
No. So I set up like a minor ritual, and I make it thematically really cool because I use thaumaturgy to turn the lights and the candles like blue. And then I make my eyes black. I start chanting to like really low and dolorous tones. I hit a little bell. And I
lean over to everybody. I just say, he's just really not backing himself up so good on this. As we see his eyes turn black and the candles change color and he starts chanting. It's like, he's just, all right.
Yeah, this is a little sus.
The room kind of fills up with like a low-hanging fog or like smoke and stuff like that. As I try to commune with Mercule at that point, I'll be like, Mercule, make yourself known to us. There are potential new acolytes of Mercule here now in this room. Hear me and guide me in service to you, oh Dark Lord. I guess I'll try and roll for some kind of communion or connection with him.
Yeah, go ahead and roll a D100.
All right.
Torque is nervous and regrets this.
52.
Everyone notices after this prayer that the flames flicker as though there was a breeze in the room, even though there's not.
Oh.
Oh, excuse me. As I fan the air away.
Gord,
flatulence will not be tolerated.
Kyle, roll me another D100, please.
Okay.
Actually, pick a 30%.
I'll choose between 70 and 100.
Pull that up. Holy shit. Yeah, Kyle, so from everyone else's perspective, the thaumaturgy fades away for a second, and your eyes return to normal, and then your eyes go black without the help of the spell, and then they turn to this hue of red. As the color in the candles returns to blue, you seem to just relax entirely. Your body loosens up in a meditative state, and through your mouth, you begin to converse with your god. And your god says to you,
Dario, what dost thou need?
I am searching for an answer to our problems at this time. My teammates, they don't believe in me.
Basically, I ask Mercule to sort of help me gain the trust of my compatriots. I'll ask like a wheel or woe kind of question, like, is heading to Senelise the way to go? And are we gonna be compatriots in that time?
Okay, so you ask all these things, and through your mouth as well, from that outside perspective, you see Dario ask these things to his god, and then in turn, the candles turn red, and your god speaks through your mouth again and says,
you shall travel to Senelise. Your companions may not trust you, but you have done nothing that should upset them. You have only done my will, and for that I will reward you in time.
Then maybe as suddenly as sort of he has possessed my body, then suddenly disappears.
All right, I have to say that was a very successful communion with Mercule, with all of you.
I bring out the alms box.
And I'm like, as a contribution to Mercule, you help further his cause in this world of...
No, wait, Dario, I already told you I ain't giving you none of my money. I already told you.
That's okay. You know what? The first one's a freebie anyways. But this is my life, guys.
Dario, that was quite something. I'm kind of beside myself. I've never seen something so dark and, quite frankly, evil.
Kind of look like you're going to, like, just throw up or something. Gonna puke.
No, that's... Being in such closeness to Mercule, you find that the relaxation of death really comes over you quite strongly. I just have to gain control of my faculties again. I'll feel better in just a little bit.
That's fucking brutal, buddy.
I mean, he's a ever-caring and loving god.
It doesn't sound like it.
I leave the room.
I tell Dario, I go, you know, we all have our passions to face. I understand now.
I'll start clearing everything up, and I'll be like, oh, well, that really took a lot out of me.
Yeah, maybe open a window or something.
I'm gonna go to sleep fairly quick, so let's just bring the beds back into position.
We should have got two rooms. Why didn't we get two rooms?
You know what? I'm gonna go sleep in the other one, because, I mean, we still paid for it. And I'm feeling a little cramped in here. I'm a bit hefty these days, so. And Spud barely squeezes through the door and walks across the hallway into the other room, and he finds a bed and lays on it.
Yeah, I'm going to bed.
Does everybody go to bed? Gord, are you staying up and sitting in a chair like normal?
Yeah, I'll do the dad sleep, sitting on a chair that's precariously placed, like a grade 3er at the back of the classroom, just waiting for it to tip.
Do you still get 8 hours of sleep, though?
Yeah, you know what? The truth of a dad is...
You never get 8 hours of sleep.
6 hours, 1 hour, it's all 8 hours.
Yeah, okay. So you guys go to sleep.
If anyone stays in the room with me, I turn my back to them, and I'm going to be kind of looking at the heartstone of Baba Yaga.
What are you doing there, Dario?
Dario, are you doing this in secret?
I'm trying to, yes.
Okay, Gord, roll me perception.
That's a 21.
Dario, can you roll me a stealth?
My stealth will not be as good as that. It is 18.
Yeah, Gord, you notice that he's pulled out the heart of Baba Yaga.
Dario, what are you doing with that?
I'm just taking a closer look at it.
Notice anything interesting?
Well, there's like still a rhythmic thumping about it. It's really strange. I'm just going to be pondering this for a little bit. I can't quite get to sleep right away.
Well, I'll stay up with you then.
I'm going to try and wait for Gord to go to sleep first.
Okay, all right.
All right, the battle of sleeping begins.
A couple hours passes. Gord, roll me a...
Tell you what, I'll make it easy for you. I look at Dario and I say, remember what I said, Dario? I'm trusting you with that. You gave me your word. You weren't in a tune with it. I'm going to hold you by it. And I'll close my eyes and lay back in my chair.
Okay, Dario?
I also close my eyes and I turn my back and I lay down.
Do you go to sleep?
He didn't say he went to sleep. I'm not going to sleep.
Okay. All right. You're going to try and fuck with it again?
Yeah. I'll just be looking at it.
Okay. Roll me another stealth check.
Okay. All right. That's 16.
Roll me a perception, Gord.
Oh, no. I went to sleep.
Oh, you went to sleep.
I'm trusting him.
All right. Then, Dario, you can do whatever you would like.
So I'll just be like, I mean, if I have this, it helps me. It really does. I can do something with this. I'm strong enough. It's not going to... I'll be fine. Baba Yaga's nothing. We destroyed her. It's fine.
I'm going to attune to it.
All right. Yeah. You spend an hour and you successfully attune to it. However...
Yeah. You die.
It might not matter in travel depending on my rolls and random encounters and such, but tomorrow you are going to take one level of exhaustion for the day.
Okay, fair enough.
But you do attune to it successfully and no one is... the wiser. So upon awaking, Dario, I need you to roll me that d20 check.
Okay. I rolled a 10.
You have managed to not succumb to the madness of the thumping of the heart of Baba Yaga. And with that, you guys get up in the morning with the intentions of making it to Saint Elise as soon as possible, yes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so for your first day heading back out into the Mercandraw, it's overcast again. The weather is holding.
Overcast like my mood.
You guys do not come across any other beings or creatures. You rest, wake up. It is now thunder and lightning. So it is coming down fierce, and I'm going to roll a D100 here. Yeah, as you guys are coming through the bog, it's a lot of water, and you're walking through the water, and be it that a lot of you have metal weapons on you, you see that the lightning storms are striking very close indeed. I need you all to roll me a dexterity saving throw, please.
A lightning check?
Yeah, a lightning check.
Oh, man, I rolled 10.
Gord rolled an 11.
Ha! 18!
15 for Cornelius.
Nevlin got a 17.
You guys just intuitively know what's happening, and as you feel some of the electricity starting to kind of charge on your weapons, you quickly get out of the water, and right where you stood moments before, a massive surge of lightning lashes out and spikes off to the side to directly where you were standing.
Wait, did Spud roll?
Spud did not roll. Spud rolled a 10 plus 5, so he's good with his 15. So you do manage to make it through. It slows you down a bit with the rain. It's raising the water level of the bog. But you guys You manage to make it through without incidents. You do see some creatures again along the path, but you make it pretty well out of the storm. So,
having left Thas Yaga and Lo Aran behind, you trudge on through the bogs of the Mercandraw, feeling a sense of unease about your surroundings. It has been weeks since you left Senelis, and you are all eager for the comforts of fine living. But things have remained eerily quiet throughout the draw, and aside from the now fading firebugs, there doesn't appear to be a creature in sight. As you push through the last of the bog, you notice the ground firming up beneath your feet. You must be close to the vibrant fields of the Feywild, only you notice that as you proceed forward to what should be lush meadows and an endless sea of tall grass, you are met with a darkness only seen in the Shadowfell. Dark clouds cover the skies in this area. As you look west and east, you see the black ooze spreading as far as the eye can see, destroying all vegetation in its path. Trees stand rotting and lifeless as you spot herds of deer fleeing from the meadows they once called home. Nearing a crossroad, the Fey Trail before you to the north leads back to Senelis. But what was once a beautiful grassy path is now hard, cracked earth. As you now make haste to Senelis, you notice how far the corruption has spread and how quickly it continues to do so. As certain parts of the Fey Trail are currently infected, you weave off the path occasionally to keep your distance, though when you do, the ooze seems to change direction and move toward you until you're well out of range. When you approach the Forest of the Mother, you notice a slurry of corruption where the ooze pushes aggressively toward the forest but seems to stop within feet of the first trees, unable to proceed past a certain point. Curious as it is, you make your way into the forest and are met with an Eladrin elf and his counterparts. Seemingly on edge, he says,
"Quickly, the Queen has been eager for your return."
As he says that, he guides you guys back to the platform. Without much notice, you all kind of buckle as the lift rises into the trees. So you get to the top of the trees, you break through the clouds. When you're coming off of the lift, as you walk out onto the platforms of the city proper, you see a group of children playing lively in front of you, one of which is wearing a black cloak with a line of sticky, stippled red paint on the back. One of the children running away shouts,
"You'll never catch me, Seraphim!"
While the other child in the cloak shouts back,
"I am the Shadow Queen! You'll never escape the Shadow Fae!"
And as quickly as they came, they were gone, disappearing into the crowds of Senelis.
A single tear rolls down my furry face at the sadness of what this world has become.
Are you okay? Was no. there something about those children playing that kind of got you?
Yeah, you don't like kids?
There?
No, I love kids.
Oh,
I had 16 brothers and sisters.
Then why are you crying?
It's just sad to see kids running around doing like stuff like that when they don't know what's actually going on and what's at stake.
Oh. I think it's kind of crazy that they are playing that game. What do they know about these people? We only just fought them the other day.
I think that we need to talk to the Queen.
Right. Well,
Let's get there as soon as we can. This is disturbing.
So you guys make your way down the pathways towards the Court of Stars. When you get there, Randrick is actually outside sitting on the steps of the proscenium waiting for you. And as soon as you guys walk up, he's like,
"Oh, fiends. I've never been happier to see a group of people covered head to toe in shit. Have you secured the stone?"
"Yeah."
"Yeah."
I look over to Nevlin and I go, "Yep."
"Oh, thank the gods. You must all be exhausted. Please, take a moment to relax in the guest house. Although the Queen is ecstatic about your arrival and holds quite a hefty reward for your efforts, she will be otherwise engaged until sundown."
"All right."
"Okay."
"Master Damon, I see you've gained some weight. Shall I show you to your quarters?" Sure thing, Randrick. I'll see you guys soon."
And Spud and Randrick then walk back in up through the proscenium into the Court of Stars chamber and walk through the back doors. So at this point,
I'd like to follow Spud and Vestibule and listen to their lengthy in-depth conversation that they have about life and
sure.
As you walk up, Vestibule is just walking around the corner and he looks back and sees you and he's like,
"Oh, mind, I've forgotten.
And he looks at you directly, Cornelius, and he's like,
"Cornelius!
Yeah, yeah.
Let our good friend Tork know that Genji Rottletocket would wish to see him again."
Okay.
He does the off the side of his head salute wave nod, walks around the corner with Spud.
I run up to Torque. I'm like, Torque, Torque, Ganja Waterbong wants to see you.
Ganja Water...
What's it?
I don't know. I'm not very good with names, but I don't know if... Oh, I know! The lady who gave me that board stick! Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. She wants to see me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks, I guess, Cornelius.
Hey, you're very welcome.
So at this point, you got a few hours to kill. And if you need to do any, make a store run or anything, or if Torque, you want to go check in with Ganji, Rollo, talk it.
Yeah, Torque's going to go see that lady.
Evelyn, is there anything you need to do?
I'll pass right now.
Okay.
Gord's just going to
relax.
Hang out.
Dario?
I'll walk off on my own. Just anywhere. I'm seeing if Gord is gonna continue to follow me.
And then I'm
baiting him, and then I'm gonna confront him on his behavior.
I love that.
Gord?
Yeah.
Are you following?
Gord keeps an eye on Dario. Okay. Yeah. He goes, Dario, where are you going?
And Cornelius?
Yeah, actually there is something I wanna do. I would like to go to the shop and purchase some of my own cheese.
Okay.
I'm running low.
All right.
I know that I ship cheese out to Senelise.
Yeah, so you can head over to the Bloated Ox. We'll probably have some. Aldous might have some.
I'm just looking for, like, 5 pouches.
Let's do Torque first. So you make your way out of the main area, leaving the Court of Stars and heading west off into the city and down the long, windy path throughout the trees into the last kind of residential quarter of the city. As you close in on the last house and residence of Ganji Rattletocket, you see the same shadow looming over the home. The rocking chair appears empty this time, but still rocks back and forth as if someone were occupying the space comfortably. As you approach the steps leading up to the front door, you notice that the door latch clicks and it creaks open. Do you go in?
Yeah. Torque definitely hesitates, and he's very nervous.
You've already been in this house.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. This house gives him the willies, but he like kind of shakes his whole body and he's just like, I gotta do this. So he goes inside.
As you push the door open, you enter the small hut, but it's then that you notice it's much bigger on the inside than the outside. Much bigger. Before you stand several tall pillars and various stone structures in a room that spans about 100 feet in length. Most of the structures are lit, but the rest of the room appears to be pitch black. Curiously, all of these pillars and structures lead up to some sort of pedestal lit from above with 2 chairs. Before you even think to take one step forward, Ganji Rattletocket appears before you, seemingly out of thin air, and in a calm tone, as she can muster, she says,
Young Total, you have shown great fortitude in your endeavors. However, you have not been practicing the shadow arts.
Hello there. It's been a minute since we've seen each other.
And as you say, she grabs Jakku's quarterstaff off your back quicker than the speed of sound, and she smacks you on the head with it.
You must practice further discipline.
Okay.
And then she smacks you again.
Please stop. I'm listening. I'm listening, and I'm sorry. I'm real sorry, lady. I mean, Miss Bottle Rocket, I just...
And then, unable to track her movements, she disappears.
Miss...
Out of thin air.
Mrs. Bottle Rocket? What am I supposed to... Is that it? You just wanted to...
You must approach the chairs. Oh. Well, I will wait for you in the shadows. But if you are seen, I will make you start again. You must learn to embrace the shadows before you are ready for what is next to come.
Embrace... The shadows.
What I need you to do here, we're going to do this in 3 rounds. For each round, you're going to try and make your way up using the stealth of the structures.
Okay.
And the shadows. I need you to make me 3 stealth checks, 1 for each round.
Okay. Torque's going to be real sneaky and shadowy and dark.
Okay, so roll me that stealth check then, the first one.
That'll be a 17.
She rolled a 12 for perception, so yeah. She doesn't see you. So go ahead and move Torque forward.
So Torque is very, very, very quiet, like a ninja. And he's very pleased with himself. And he actually has to, like, stop smiling. He's got a really big smile on his face because he's so pleased.
So you're taking the west side of the room up to the north where the chairs are. You do manage to make it the first round, so let's roll again for the second stealth.
Yeah, he's gonna crush it very quietly. That is a 16.
Oh, you beat Ganji by one. She does not see you still, so you can go ahead and move another round's movement forward.
Okay. So he just keeps going north towards the chairs behind all the light.
The chairs are on this in the center of the room for everybody listening. Okay, so go ahead and roll your third and final stealth check.
Okay. What did you roll?
What did you roll?
Say it at the same time. This is seven. Did you roll? Seven.
You rolled a seven too?
Yeah, did you?
Are you serious?
No way.
Okay, so let's cancel each other out. So let's go ahead and
fuck,
do
I
a
wish
break
we
roll.
Had said it at the same time. So actually anxious. No. I rolled a six.
You rolled a six?
Yes. Why would I lie?
She rolled a 14. So out of nowhere, you hear Ganji Rattle talk it. You don't hear her, actually. You just all of a sudden feel the sting of Jakku's staff smack your forehead. And when you close your eyes and open them again, you're back at the start. And we're just going to do this really quick again. Let's do it.
Okay. It's a 13.
Yeah, you win. Second stealth roll.
12.
Yeah, she got a 7. So that's you're good. Third stealth roll.
Oh, God, we're so close. 12 again.
Okay, you're good. You got it.
You lied.
What's that?
You lied. You're totally lying, but that's okay. I got it. Great. Yay!
No, you got it.
I'm so sneaky.
No, she rolled a 3 plus 5 for 8. It's legit. I don't lie. I'm the dungeon master.
Fuck off. T-shirt design.
Okay, so you reach the chairs, and again, seemingly out of nowhere, Ganji will appear out of the shadows, and she comes straight past you. She sits in the left chair. She gestures you to sit on the right.
Okay, I'll just take a little seat here. And he says,
she looks at you and she says,
before we begin, I must ask you questions 3, 1.
They're not going to be hard questions, are they? Because I'm a lot stronger than
no.
I am smart.
No, shh, shh, shh.
Sorry.
What is your darkest fear?
Will you know if I lie?
Undoubtedly.
Oh, okay. All right, Mrs. Toddle. Can I call you Ganji?
Rattle Tocket. Oh. You can call me Ganji.
Okay, thanks, Ganji. My darkest fear is that maybe one day I would be out somewhere with my family, and I wouldn't come home one time, and they wouldn't notice. And that's it.
Okay. 2.
Yeah?
What is your biggest weakness?
You promise you won't use it against me?
Undoubtedly.
Does that mean no?
Undoubtedly.
I got a real weak Achilles tendon. Only on the right foot, though.
What is your biggest intellectual weakness?
Oh, intellect in general. I also got a pretty weak brain.
And 3, will you swear to the shadow on life or death?
Do I gotta swear on both? Life it. Do I get something cool from it if I swear?
Are you willing to give yourself to the shadow, life and in death?
Do you think that Jakku would want me to swear? Do you think he'd be okay with it?
I think that that's exactly what he would want.
Okay. I promise and I swear, life and death.
Then you're ready for your first inclines.
My what?
Your first inclines.
Like a tattoo?
This will hurt. But in time, you will grow used to it. And as you grow, you will come to appreciate it.
As you sit there, before you can resist, she starts poking you with this needle over and over again, occasionally dipping it into the ink. After some time, the tattoo starts to magically glow. And what this does is this tattoo will magically allow you to use a key point to hide in the shadows as a bonus action.
Fuck off! That's so cool! That's so cool!
And at that, Ganji stands up and she looks at you. And from behind her, she pulls out Jakku's quarterstaff and she pushes it into your chest. And she says,
do not lose this. This is your link to your master and your link to the shadow. If you ever have an excess of funds and wish me to upgrade this weapon, come again to see me and I can embed more magic into the staff.
Okay.
And at once, Ganji disappears into the shadows and the hut returns to normal. On Ganji's table, there sits a piece of parchment with a small note written on it. Do you read it?
Yeah, what does it say?
It says,
talk. If you are reading this, then I am gone. Since you came to us at the monastery, I have watched you grow. Though your clumsiness was a defect of character, I believe you can turn that defect into an asset over time with Ganji's help. Please continue your training as my dying wish. The time will come for you to face your fears and your brothers, and you must be ready. I have faith that you will be. Stay strong in the shadows. Signed, Jakku.
You guys, I'm crying! Oh no! Twerk is also crying. We're both crying. He's very humbled. I feel like this was his bat mitzvah. That's what happens when you become a man, right? He got, like, this fresh badass ink.
Yeah, so you can take some time and let us all know next session what that tattoo actually looks like.
I get to decide? Oh, thank you.
Barbed wire, barbed wire right around here.
This is the best gift you've ever given me.
Ed Hardy tribal tattoos.
Ganji would never do that. It's a tramp stamp, actually. No, I'm just kidding.
So with that, you can return to the party if you wish.
He takes his time, though. He's like, he's very emotional. He's walking slow.
Okay. So, Tork, you take your time. You make your way back to the guest house. You get there, and everyone's kind of just relaxing, and you guys are sitting around and so on and so forth. We'll go over to Cornelius. You head out to where? The Bloated Ox, or are you going to Aldous's?
I'll go to Aldous first, because I feel like Aldous would probably have my cheese.
Okay, then. So you go...
Aldous, my friend.
Aldous the Magnificent.
Aldous the Magnificent.
Did you receive your last shipment of...
Aldous
of
cheese.
Of my cheese.
Oh, God, come
of
on.
Of Aldous
come
cheese.
Come on!
I do have Aldous cheese.
Yes, thank you.
Aldous cheese right here. Cornelius' Fluffy Bum Delicacies. I do have some real good right here.
I need some.
They go for a pretty penny, you know.
Yeah, I know. I sell them to you.
Either way, these cheeses will be 5 gold pieces each.
Yeah, that's fine. They're the full wheels?
No, the full wheels are 25 gold pieces. These are the half wheels.
Oh, I'll just buy 3 small wheels.
So that will be 15 gold pieces, please. Not now, Codex. I'm doing a cheese sale. This is important business. This man needs cheese. He makes the cheese.
Sorry. And he takes the 15 gold from you.
Anyways, your next shipment of cheese is gonna be late because I don't know where my goats are.
Terrible, terrible thing.
Okay, well, bye.
Have a nice day.
You as well. I just wanted to get more cheese so that the people at home aren't like, how's this guy have so much cheese but he's been on an adventure? And I'm like, ha ha, because I buy my own cheese.
It's like the worst farmer in the world. Oh, yeah, let me sell these
I
to the store.
He's just trying to
go
stimulate the economy a bit.
Just to buy it back at a premium.
All right, so you make your way back to the guest house, and you're chilling, and then we'll head over to Gord and Dario. Dario, you've made your way.
I quickly walk away, and I know that he's calling after me, asking me where I'm going, but I continue, like, walking down and away from him at a clip.
And Gord, you're just following.
I'll catch up to you. I'll catch up, and I'll go, hey, Dario.
Hey, Gord. How are you doing, buddy?
Well, you know, can't complain.
I think you could complain. I think that you could be doing a lot more verbalization of whatever issue you're having with me right now, because I'm getting quite tired of it. And quite honestly, you should look a little more to yourself. You are acting a little bit irrational these days, a little bloodthirsty. I noticed that before you brought out your quarterstaff,
That does not come out very often. You're always bringing out your glaive now and spreading blood everywhere. I have to keep my clothes clean. They are speckled with blood. I don't have that spell, okay? I have to wash these things. So how about you explain that?
That's why I use the glaive, so that I don't get blood on myself. I'm 10 feet away.
Yeah, just on everybody else.
Look, I know what it's like to have a cursed item. I once wore some armor. It gave me a lot of power, but it took a heavy toll. I know how the corruption is, and all I can say is we build these bonds of trust on our actions, and so...
If there's something in my actions that has caused you to distrust me on such a level, I mean, you're not even pinpointing exactly what it is. And also, these items, like, I hold up the pendant, and I'm like, I'm not even wearing this. Yes, it might be a corrupt item, but I'm holding it, and I'm doing fine. So, what is it here?
Well, I just have trust issues, I guess, is what I'd say. But I want to be able to protect the people I trust. And I want to trust you, Dario. I really do.
What is it going to take to gain your trust, Gord? What is that exactly? Where's that threshold for you?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dario. When we get to the Queen, we'll see if she lets you keep the heart. If you're true to your word, then maybe you won't attune to it. Maybe you will. I won't be angry. I'll just be disappointed. Anyways, I'm gonna head off and find a place to chill a bit.
I will also keep to my thoughts until we are required. And the end scene.
Okay, Dario, you walk for a little bit longer and you just walk about the trees. You see the children playing. Still, you see those kids run by again with the Seraphim game or whatever they're playing, the Shadow Fae. Mm-hmm. You know, you look off into the distance and look down to the fog and lean on a hand railing and kind of just take in the wind. And then, Dario, you head back to the guest house, and shortly thereafter, you know, maybe 10 minutes, Dario comes walking in, as Torque comes walking in, and Cornelius is kind of showing Nevlin his fancy cheeses that he's found, and excited that he's found his own wares in another city still. And you guys are standing there, and as the sun sets on St. Elise, Randrup arrives at the guest house. He's like, the Queen will see you now. He gestures to the door, and he leads you guys back in through the proscenium into the chamber. And as you enter the Court of Stars chamber, you see the Queen, again, signing various scrolls at her station. Her ears begin to perk up as she notices your entry. She immediately rises, near tears in her eyes. She smiles and begins a brisk walk towards you, which turns into a slow run as she makes immediately for Torque and embraces him with noticeable love and care. She stands before him, and she moves her hands in a diagonal motion away from each other, then down the sides of Torque's body as a shimmering radiance removes the effects of the demon. Torque, you are now back to your regular old self.
Oh boy, I think the tattoo's gonna look a lot better now.
Suddenly all your muscles, like, fill out, rippling in the heart, just like, as you bulk up again.
The tattoo is distorted.
So the Queen moves down the line, a hand on the shoulder of Dario, grabbing Gord's hand, softly touching Cornelius's cheekbone with her fingers, and kneeling down, booping Nevlin on the nose, smiling all the while. She stands and wipes a visible tear from her face and says,
"My dears, I have had much anxiety waiting your arrival, a very human emotion, though I believe that in these days one should be allowed certain leniencies. In the weeks you've been gone, certain changes have taken place beyond my control, as I'm sure you've noticed, and we've much to talk about. Oh, and before I forget, Randrick, please give the companions their payment."
And Randrick comes around and he tosses you each a large sack of coins. You each get a sack containing 500 gold pieces each.
Holy shit.
Insert the money symbol from Mario.
like 500 times.
She smiles at your acknowledgement and gratitude for this money, but she's also equally as grateful. So she looks at you all down the line and back, and she says,
"As you must now know, this ooze has spread like a vicious wildfire, killing all in its path. The mother weeps from the deepest depths of her heart, but we've no way to stop the spread as of yet.
Our mages have also discovered that this ooze and fog from whence it came has the ability to push a being to lose all reason and become corrupted by its power and enter a state of berserker rage. Though we are exhausting all resources, we've made little to no progress on a counter-ritual that may reverse these effects. Aldous the Magnificent has also shared with us that the corruption rage may be reversed by magic, as some of you have seen, but that after a certain point, the effects become permanent. We've heard from neighboring cities that the corruption spreads into the streets and has taken many lives, and we are taking in more and more refugees, which has yet to become an issue, but in time you may run out of space and supplies. While you were gone, we had a Court of Stars summon. Baba Yaga was unable to attend as she was otherwise engaged. Damon has filled me in lightly, but I would love to hear it from you directly.
Okay, so there we were. We were coming in down the swamp, and she was all like, you gotta go and kill these people because they're trying to kill me. And so we were like, all right, that's cool. So then we...
And we did. We did it. We did it. We murdered everybody.
Dario, show her the stone.
First, I pull out the flask of her ashes, and I say, this is the ashes of Baba Yaga.
Very curious.
She was scorched from this land.
I shall hand this over to the mages.
She also left behind this this stone here. The pulses with a rhythmic heartbeat or something. It is her heartstone. Is that any use to you?
I do not believe we have a use for this heartstone.
That's okay. I'll hold on to it.
Have you identified this heartstone? Do you know
Nevlin?
Yeah, it's Christ. But you know, I think we're rolling the dice every day here, and we could really use. We could really use whatever help we can get. You know, if we come across Seraphim the Black again, I don't know if we can survive another attack like that.
You came across Seraphim the Black?
She came and attacked us.
She was waiting for us outside the swamp with her lodge boyfriend there.
Her brother.
Oh, that's awkward.
Yeah,
sort of like Drogon?
Drogon Rathskeller, to be exact.
Rathskeller. Your voice has gotten so husky.
I am sorry.
They disappeared. From what I've heard, they took me out, and I think a couple of us.
Yeah, they ran away.
But we did quite a bit of work on Seraphim, and I think they cut their losses. But they're very powerful.
Curious, you do have the stone.
We got the stone. Yeah.
May I see it?
Yeah, of course. And Nevlin passes her the stone.
She takes the stone, she holds onto it, and she closes her eyes, and she waves her hand over the top of it. She says,
"We shall take this, and we shall put it into the maze of Fabigan."
And she covers it in the cloak. She gives it to Randrick, and Randrick walks away with it and puts it in a chest at the foot of her throne, just at the table, 10 feet away or so.
Are you sure you're not going to find a way to use this stone to work against the ooze or something?
Our mages believe that having all of the stones, we may be able to perform a counter ritual to reverse what Seraphim the Black has done.
And wait a second, how many more stones are there again?
There are 5 stones in total.
And we just got the one?
Yes.
Okie dokie.
We've located 2 more of the stones. However, obtaining one in specific is more pressing than the other. The Fomorians have obtained one of the Stones of Power, deep in the Thedark. They have harnessed its power and are opening magically sealed barriers that kept them out of certain areas since the Great Wars. The Watchers of the Night in Mithendrane have been battling relentlessly to keep the upper hand, but their numbers are no match for the Fomorians, who flood in from the Broken Seal. This is why we must take the Stone of Power and seal it away in the Maze of Farthigan. It is the safest place for a Stone of Power in the Feywild, or what's left of the Feywild. There is hope that the Grenith clan still resides in the Feydark. Their leader, Darion, may be our last hope at finding passage through the Feydark to recover the stone and reseal the barriers.
So we need to find Darion?
Darion of Grenith clan.
Get ready for this, guys. This one's going to be confusing.
Yeah, I'm going to call him something else.
You should know, the Fomorians have been spotted terrorizing around the Fae.
Some are corrupted, some still have reason, but their numbers have grown substantially since the Great War and will offset the balance in the Fae unless they are stopped. We have alerted the citizens of Senelise of the dangers that exist outside of the Forest of the Mother. We have maintained a calmness, as the magic of the Mother seems to keep back the corruption, although we believe the Fomorians may likely try to take the city in time. For now, though, all who reside in Senelise are safe. If you would help us once more, we have the resources to pay you well for your efforts.
Yes.
Once more?
Though the journey into the Feydark may be more dangerous than we know.
Yeah, sounds like we're going to end up helping you four more times, but...
Yeah. But I don't know, the queen is awfully nice, you guys.
And what she says, if she gets all the stones, this all goes back to normal.
I would love that.
I mean, I'm kind of having fun. It doesn't have to go back to normal right away, does it?
Well, it won't. This is going to take a long time, Tor. We might even die.
Oh, I don't really care
you
much.
You know what, the faster we do this, the better. Let's just, how far away is it?
Let's just take our time with this.
It's not far. That's the scary part. It's close. The entrance that they have opened is to the north. We do not know of many other entrances, but we will have to prepare. We will have days, if not a week or so, before you may wish to depart. I would like to address a certain matter of sensitivity, Cornelius.
Yes.
You have family, yes?
Yeah.
Where do they reside?
In the East Forest.
Close to home, then.
Yeah.
The scouts have reported that the corruption is spreading very quickly farther east, and now may be a good time to maybe move with haste to check on your family in the east.
Okay. Are you saying they are in imminent danger?
Are they all right?
I don't know, but there have been people fleeing from the Eastern Forest and the surrounding areas.
Well, maybe we should head that way. Maybe, Gord, we can... Maybe there's word of your family.
That would be good to hear.
Hold on, now we got priorities here, people.
You'll have more than enough time to make it to the Eastern Forest and back. If you find anyone along the way, you're welcome to bring them back to Senelise, including your parents. And when you make it back, we should have supplies enough ready for you to depart on your way to the Feydark and beyond.
All right.
Well, do you have space for a lot of chickens and maybe some goats? Because, I mean, Corny's always talking about those guys.
We've got a stable large enough, for certain. And your mules, they are still happy.
I think about Oscar every single day. I talk about him all the time.
Yeah, it's usually... Oh, where's Oscar?
Thank you, lady. Well, we gotta save Corny's family, you guys. I mean, we're all pals now, aren't we? We gotta help out our pal.
If it was my family, I'd want to go.
And we might find out more about your family, too, Gord.
Yeah.
Well, knowing my folks, they're probably helping people get out of there right now.
Let's hope that's the case. I mean, the worst comes to worst, they will be in the forever ending life embrace of Mercule, and they will go beyond the veil.
Probably
Dario,
not.
Dario, stop it.
Probably oh. Not.
Sorry.
We go to the Great Garden above.
Oh, right, yes.
I don't like the idea of stretching ourselves so thin, but it's your world. It's your world, Cornelius. Let's go.
But isn't it, like, nighttime? I'm pretty sure.
I don't mean right now.
Okay.
We'll head out in the morning after we get some supplies. We got a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll say hi to Oscar, because he's so important to me.
Yes, that's right. You've been nonstop talking about your support animal, and it's time you revisit.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for backing that up.
Didn't I have a donkey?
I do ask the queen before she leaves, is Damon coming with us?
Oh.
Just as you say that, Spud walks into the chamber very casually and says,
hey guys. It turns out I learned a thing or two fighting all those hags alongside all of you. I really needed some rest and a few pointers to sort it out.
And Spud is like looking back to his normal self. He has been healed of the demonicker. And he's like, so anyway, I wanted to pop by,
you know, make sure you guys are all okay. And I know I missed all the important adult stuff, but the queen had filled me in. And Torque, I'd like to introduce you to the newest member of my entourage, everyone.
And as Damon draws both his swords, he crosses them blade to blade in front of him. With ferocity, he pulls them quickly apart, sliding the blades against each other as a fury of sparks erupt, revealing a small, drake-like creature. And he says,
Meet Charlotte, my noble steed to be.
And that's where we're ending the session.
Charlotte.
No!
Charlotte.
He's getting to be so cool.
Blah, 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 churros.